It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. Happy Monday to you. It's a good Monday. It's Championship Monday. There's going to be a champion crowned in college basketball. Is it going to be Florida? Is it going to be the Gators? Or is it going to be the Cougars of Houston? I don't know. If you put a gator and a cougar in a cage, what would happen? I have no idea. But we'll find out what they can do on a basketball court tonight. I already gave you my pick. I'm looking at Houston coming out on top. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm being joined by super producer and host Ryan Hickey. He also thinks that Houston is going to come out on top. I think it's going to be a close game. We got to wait and see. Well, we got to wait about 90 minutes until the action gets started, the national championship game down in San Antonio, Texas. This show, it got started an hour ago. Where you been? We get started 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. We talked about the Final Four matchups over the weekend as Duke has been sent home and Auburn goes home as well. We got into UConn beating South Carolina on the women's side. And then we talked about Alexander Ovechkin. 895. Has passed Wayne Gretzky for the most goals all time in the NHL. I want to talk more about that, talk some Florida Gators. In about 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Matt Muehlbach, college basketball analyst on ESPN and Fox Sports. Let's get his thoughts on who's going to walk away with the national championship tonight in the Alamo Dome. You want to be a part of the show? You can do that. The phone number here is 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We'll talk some more college basketball momentarily as we are just creeping closer and closer to tip-off down in San Antonio. I want to just piggyback before we keep things a-moving on the conversation we just had surrounding Alexander Ovechkin. We'll get to that in a second. Thank you for listening on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM, channel 375, and a smart speaker. A smart speaker, if you got one, you can always ask it to play the Infinity Sports Network. Now, Alexander Ovechkin has gotten to goal number 895. Wayne Gretzky was sitting there at 894. And here's the difference. Wayne Gretzky is retired. There are no more goals. Alexander Ovechkin is 39. He is still going. He's not done. And to think, if I'm sitting here and I'm pulling up on 900 goals, I'm like, damn it, I'm going to play until I get to 1,000. I'm going to play until the wheels fall off. Like, there's nothing. What is Alexander Ovechkin playing for? To just win another championship? Here he has one. It's not like he has to check that off the list. And so you would imagine that unless he has some massive injury and he falls off of a cliff, he's going to get to 1,000 goals. And we talked about maybe who could maybe get there. Hickey, Connor McDavid, too many assists. The guy that people are looking at, and even this just seems ridiculous to think about right now, realistically, is Austin Matthews from the Toronto Maple Leafs. So his current pace right now, he's 27 years old. He has almost 400 goals in 623 career games. It's 500 goals just about behind Ovechkin. And at his current goals per game pace, he would need another 778 games to reach 896. And that is only, Hickey, listen to this, it's only one more game than Ovechkin's record. Or one more goal, I should say. Oh, yes, one more game. And so he's kind of on pace, but we don't know where Ovechkin is going to stop, and that's where things get crazy. It's not like he's done, you know?
Right. I mean, like I think, I think 1,000 is attainable. So now if we're saying, okay, basically, Matthews is going to basically need bare minimum to mirror Ovechkin's career, we're talking about what, playing till 41?
Oh, man, he may have to go further than that. I don't know.
And yeah, we're saying this year he's going to get 40 goals this year. Ovechkin's at 39.
Yeah. It's crazy. In order to reach where Ovechkin is now, yep, he's 27 years old, and based on an 82-game season where maybe he never gets hurt, maybe there is never an NHL labor dispute, it would translate to 9.5 more seasons. 9.5 more seasons just to reach where Ovechkin is right now at 895. So, you know, when you think about who breaks records and this and that, the guy who might do it, probably not even in the NHL right now. Hickey, this kid is probably, picking boogers somewhere, right? I don't know what he's doing. He ain't playing hockey full time.
So you think he's on this earth right now?
He might be, maybe not. Let's think about this. Wayne Gretzky broke the record in 94. Alexander Ovechkin didn't even make it into the league until 11 years after, right? When the record was broken. That's a gap, man. That the record has stood for the better part of 30 years right now. That's crazy. So is Austin Matthews going to be the guy to do it? I don't know. And so this was actually brought up to Austin Matthews, and he's just like, it's crazy. He says, I don't even think it's worth even thinking about right now. It's so far away. Yeah, this is quote unquote, that's such a long way away. That's such a long way to go. And, you know, I don't even think I should be in that conversation. I mean, this guy just broke the record. I'm so far away from that. And I don't think that should be a focus on myself. I mean, it should be on Ovechkin, and rightfully so. It should definitely be on Ovechkin and what he's been able to accomplish in his career, and obviously this record being one of them. Well, they always say records are made to be broken. Now, Hickey, this is the fun part about history. I don't know if it's fun or bad, but let's stick to sports. Let's stick to that part of it. There are some records in sports where you just go, that's crazy. And you like the sport would have to go through a generational change for something to move it. You know, we had this conversation on Friday when Ovechkin put up 2 goals. We got a lot of callers in about records in sports that would never be broken. And we got numbers like, you know, Nolan Ryan when it comes to strikeouts or when it comes to wins and what have you, and no hitters. And when you think about how the game has changed, that might be true. There's nothing to say. Maybe Ovechkin just keeps going and going, and then a record doesn't get touched for generations on end. That's a possibility as well.
It definitely is. Yeah, no, I mean, I think there are certain records, like, I think LeBron 50K and counting points feels like one of those records that will never be touched just because of the longevity consistency.
You think the way these guys shoot these threes that, you know, nobody will catch wherever the hell LeBron ends up?
The reason why I don't is while he's not a prolific three-point shooter for most of his career, like, you still, even if you just primarily shoot threes, I mean, you have to basically be playing at a high elite level for 20 years.
25, I don't even know, right?
Right, when you count LeBron's playoff totals, like, it's what, an extra 4 or 5 seasons worth of games he's played in, like... That to just be that consistent every, like, look at Steph Curry. Steph Curry's nowhere close to LeBron,
right?
Points
right.
wise, like,
yeah,
it's so tough.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. Nobody. It's gonna be fun to see. I'm glad that both of these are taking place in the same era. Because let's be real, like, somebody has to Hickey. Let's think about it this way: in my lifetime, in your lifetime, we will be old by the time anybody gets close to either of these records. Old. Old.
And then we can be the people that said, back in our day when this record was first broken, we thought no one would touch this.
Right.
No one would pass Ovi. No one would pass LeBron. We could be sitting in our rocking chairs like 85 years old saying, I can't believe it.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy, man. That's nuts. Now, I never thought that somebody would pass Kareem, and here we have it. It wasn't a thought in my brain that somebody would pass Wayne Gretzky, and here we have it. And 2005 feels like yesterday to me. It sure as hell does, and here we are 20 years later. What a world. Anyway, let's see if we have some history made tonight. Speaking of accomplishments, in about 10 minutes from now, we'll have a chat with Matt Muehlbach, college basketball analyst on ESPN and Fox Sports. And then also, you know, I want to see what the ratings look like for tonight's game. Because there's nothing better than turning on anything. And then people, this is why folks watch television and shows. They got to be a bad guy. There has to be a hero. There has to be an anti-hero. There has to be somebody that gets on people's nerves enough where you go, I want to see them win or I want to see them lose. And with no Duke in the national championship game tonight, thank you very much, Houston, the ratings are definitely going to be lower than what they would have been if Duke was out there. And so we saw what happened. Duke fell apart against Houston, just a historic collapse. They couldn't buy a shot at the end of the game, the last 10 minutes to basically save their lives. And so that game, this past Saturday, or matter of fact, both games, it was the most watched Final Four since 2017. That is almost a decade. And that Duke and Houston game, it was the most watched game of the entire tournament. And then you have Auburn and Florida. It was the most watched early Final Four game since 2017. And so I don't know what the game is going to look like tonight, but you're going to have a lot of Duke fans that have absolutely zero interest in paying attention. Now, God bless Walter Clayton. You got a lot of people who want to see if he can just go up there and jack up shots and get past 30. You know, we got all Houston is a huge media market. Florida is a big old state. I don't care if you look at North Florida all the way down to Central. There's a lot of Gator fans all over the place. There's going to be massive interest, but there's no way that it's going to catch up to Duke. Walter Clayton Jr., he spoke yesterday and he says, you know what? It's good to have Florida back in this spot, potentially winning a championship, something they haven't done since 06-07.
I'm just thankful, man. You know, obviously Florida basketball has a great history. I grew up watching it. You know, obviously we got T. Green on the staff to tell us about the experiences. So it's just a great feeling, you know, to go out there and win games and have Gator Nation supporting us.
You think about Todd Golden. This is his first chance to win a national championship. He's been through his own personal trials. He was investigated for, talking to a young woman he allegedly had no business talking to, but he's been cleared of that. Now, Todd Golden, he did speak yesterday, and he said, yes, we know we have to take on Houston. Yes, we know their defense is crazy, but no, we're not afraid of them, guys.
Obviously, we respect everyone that we're playing against. We don't fear people. We respect them. And that goes for the coaches as well. You know, like all these guys that we're competing against at this point are, you know, either Hall of Fame coaches or potentially on their way to being Hall of Fame coaches or really, really successful head coaches.
Yeah, here we have a case of the old guy in Kelvin Sampson versus the young guy in Todd Golden. Todd Golden is 39 years old. Kelvin Sampson, 69 years old. And so is his, I don't want to say his age, is his wisdom going to come in handy, his experience? I think so. And this is his last chance, his last opportunity. We'll have a chat with Matt Muehlbach in a second and get his thoughts. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We got Rob calling from Connecticut. Rob, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. Go ahead quickly. Give me your thoughts.
No problem, JR. Just wanted to catch up with you and say it was a great day for Ovechkin yesterday. I actually had on the TV, witnessed it live. Couldn't happen to a better man. Great hockey player. Number two, it's a great place to live in Connecticut, especially when you got the UConn women, the national championship. Second off, I wanted your opinion. Or third, I should say.
Yes.
Exactly. Thanks for correcting me. Third, tonight, what's your opinion? Who do you like in the game tonight, Houston or Florida?
Oh, well, I'm going to give you a quick recap. We discussed it, and we're going to go ahead and get to our guest, Rob. Thank you for calling from Connecticut. Both Hickey and I are leaning towards Houston to walk away with the victory. I mean, Walter Clayton Jr., it really depends on how much help he's going to go out there and get. And what are the odds? I mean, is he going to need a 30 spot for them to win and win again? I don't know. It just seems like the Gators and, yeah, Walter Clayton Jr., he's going to make his way to the NBA. But all things considered, I think Houston, just based on what they've done, they don't stop. They didn't stop against Duke. They didn't slow down not one bit. You know what? So we're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, I'm going to ask this question to someone who knows a whole hell of a lot more and has covered a whole hell of a lot more than me. Matt Muehlbach is going to join us, who covers all things college basketball on ESPN and Fox Sports. So we will get his thoughts and his perspective on the other side of the break. I need you to know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. It is the JR Sport Brief Show. We'll talk with an expert. Get Matt Muehlbach's opinion. Is he going with Florida or is he going with Houston? Have that conversation with him on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're a little more than an hour away from tip-off tonight, crowning a national champion on the men's side down in San Antonio, Texas, the Alamo Dome. Is it going to be the Florida Gators? Are we looking at the Houston Cougars? Is Kelvin Sampson, is that program going to walk away with his first championship? To talk all things college basketball, what we've seen, what we might see tonight, what we might see over the next several weeks and maybe even months, joining us right now is Matt Muehlbach, covers all things college basketball for ESPN as well as Fox Sports. Matt, how are you?
Fantastic. JR, how you doing, man?
Very well. Good to have you back on. I mean, we're down to the final two now. Before we get into what we'll see in about an hour from now, what are your thoughts on those two games on Saturday, the highest rated Final Four in about a decade almost?
Yeah, you know, I had an interesting weekend. I was in San Francisco, and my former team, the 88 Wildcats from Tucson, we had a reunion of our Final Four back in 88, our first Arizona Final Four of all time. Our point guard from that team, Steve Kerr, hosted us in San Francisco, obviously now the coach for the Warriors, and we all watched it together and had a great time. It was fun reminiscing, and now we lost our first game, so we didn't. That was not fun, but yeah, we watched. We felt we were the best team that year, and I feel like Duke is still the best team, but Duke did not win Saturday, as we all know. And yeah. I got to give a shout out to Kelvin Sampson, man. I played against him when I was at Arizona. He was at Washington State. He's a phenomenal coach. He's a phenomenal human being. I love the culture he's created in Houston, and I think the difference between them, and we saw it on Saturday. You know, they never give up. They never give up. We know they're a great defense. They're the number one KenPom defense in the entire country right now as we sit here. But I think the difference between this Houston team and what we've seen in the past has been the three-point shooting.
Yeah.
And, you know, crazy enough, people don't get it. They're number one in the nation in three-point shooting, and they showed out on Saturday. They hit, I think, like 10 of 21 or something like that. And that was one of the keys, aside from their relentlessness, their ability not to give up, and it's such an incredible quality. I just really, really sat there Saturday watching that, JR. It was just super, had a big smile on my face.
Now, having said that, people don't necessarily associate Houston with shooting. The first thing that comes to mind is defense. Meanwhile, we see Walter Clayton Jr. He's out there just lighting it up. Here's a 30-point game. Here's a 30-point game.
Right.
We're gonna see one of these offenses, great offense versus great defense. How do you think this evens out tonight?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Houston has a pretty slow tempo. And Florida's much quicker. Florida's a top 60 tempo team. Houston's like 360 in the country. They want to play slower. They want to grind it out. They want to make it half court. I think to some degree, JR, you know, who wins that battle, who can kind of dictate their will from a tempo standpoint has a lot to do with it.
if Florida can really get up and run, if they can get some steals, if they can get, you know, easy buckets in transition, I think it's going to favor them. With that said, I've always felt that it's easier to dictate tempo on defense. So, you know, Houston's going to dictate. They're going to fight like heck for every possession on that defense. And look, Florida can too. Florida's number 9 in defense in the country. It's not like they can't play D, but their offense is number 2. You know, right behind Duke, and I think it's going to be a pick 'em. I think it's going to come down in the last couple minutes. You mentioned Clayton. I mean, he's been the MVP of the tournament so far. He's been spectacular, and you know, but that defense is going to be as easy. If you watch them tonight, what Houston does, they blitz a lot of screen and rolls. So they jump out, they'll blitz them, and they'll try to get the passer to get rid of the ball, or the dribbler to get rid of the ball. And then they recover so well. It's amazing how they recover. And it's going to be interesting to see how does Florida attack that blitzing ball screen defense.
Matt Muehlbach is here with us, the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Man, you used to knock down those threes. A lot of people are looking at Walter Clayton Jr. You don't hear as much about LJ Cryer on the other side, who's actually won a championship with Baylor. Like, what can we expect from the Houston squad with him leading the charge?
Well, again, you know, I look at that shooting percentage, right? And you just think about how much better they are shooting the ball. You know, he really shot it well in that game the other night. You know, he was really the key from a shooting standpoint. I think he was 6 for 9 from 3-point range. And actually their best shooter, in my opinion, is Emmanuel Sharp. He was only 1 for 6. The other kid that I thought's had such a great year, JR, is that Milos Uzan. And, you know, what Kelvin Sampson does a lot is he finds matchups that he likes, almost like a pro coach. And he'll exploit those matchups. And actually, to the point, I don't see a lot of college coaches where they just go 1-4 and they just tell, hey, look, I got my guy. I'm going to beat you 1-on-1. I don't even need a screen. I'm just going to do it 1-on-1. And they'll go at you, especially late in games. And Uzan is the guy that typically is that. Cryer became that guy the other night. Like, he obviously had the big game with the 26 points and was their leader on that end. So I think that's going to be interesting, you know, how they go at Florida. I think the other thing, we just talked about it, you know, just how do the Florida guards, you know, how does Houston guard them? What do they do with Clayton? He's had such a good tournament. You know, I think, like I said, I think they'll blitz him on any screening roles. Maybe Florida does the same thing Houston does, a little bit of their own medicine, and puts Clayton in just one-on-one matchups and says, go to work, fella.
Matt, when you talk about the strategy of both sides, we discussed the age discrepancy when it comes down to both coaches. You have Golden, who's 39 years old. You have Sampson, who's 69 years old. Could we see Kelvin Sampson? He's done everything except for win this big one. Could we see him, you know, kind of walk away tonight if he comes out on top?
He might. That would actually be pretty storybook, wouldn't it? I'd love it if he did. If he didn't, you know, these coaches, though, as you know, JR, man, they love to coach. They're, you know, some of a guy like Sampson, I could see him almost doing it forever. He just loves to coach. He loves, you know, being affecting these young men and the culture he puts together. If I were an employer, I would hire guys that went to Houston because of Coach Sampson. That's how much I respect him. And but if he did, man, if he walked away, I'd be right there to watch the 30 for 30 afterward.
Matt, we discussed this a little bit the last time you were here. Kelvin Sampson, he would really be last of a dying breed when it comes to coaches and programs. You know exactly what you're going to get. There's much more stability even in a wild world of college basketball where things have kind of been upended.
Yeah, he's done such a great job, you know, continuity wise and keeping players. He's certainly gotten players in the portal like everybody does. But I don't know. I mean, the first question I'd ask him is how do you create such a great culture? And I know one of his answers, and he said this before, that he goes, I don't recruit guys that don't fit our culture, that won't be accountable, that don't play the way we want them to play. He does such a great job. And I mentioned that reunion our team had in 88, and our coach was Lute Olson. Everyone used to say what a great developer of talent he was. And he was. But I think what he did was he recruited winners, and he recruited good people and really high character guys. And because of that, you know, there's an old saying that, in fact, Lute used to say this all the time, that, you know, if you got good kids, they're going to figure out a way to get it done. If you don't, sometimes they figure out a way not to get it done. And we know too, at the highest level, all these teams have good kids and so forth. You wouldn't be at this level, you know, Final Fours and championships if you didn't have them. And look, I still say, like I said, you started all over tomorrow, I still would put Duke as the best team. It's just, this is why we love the tournament, because the best team doesn't win every year.
You're certainly correct on that one. College basketball analyst and former Arizona Wildcat Matt Muehlbach is here with us on the JR Sport Brief Show. You talk about Duke. I expected them to be right here playing tonight against Florida. That's not the case. What do you think is this program is going to look like? It's been a while since Duke has been national champs, and now Shire is here, had a good chance and opportunity. Duke is always going to have a chance to be competitive, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've got three lottery picks that are freshmen, so I expect they're going to lose them. But they'll just keep rebuilding. They'll reload. They're Duke, and I really enjoyed watching Shire. I think, his third year, I believe, correct? And, you were always wondering who was going to replace Coach K, and such a legend. And we've seen how difficult it is to replace legends at different programs, especially the elite programs. You know, UCLA had trouble replacing John Wooden and his legendary status. And we've seen it happen in other places. I think they picked the perfect guy. I mean, his demeanor, his X's and O's, how he treats people, you know, how he's already shown he can recruit. They're just going to keep reloading every year. And I don't expect to see him go too long without another Final Four and possibly a championship.
Well, we know the immediate future for Cooper Flagg. It doesn't matter how that game ended on Saturday. This man is going to be the number one overall selection. How do you think his game will translate over to the NBA side?
100%. He'll be fantastic. I saw him, JR. I happened to be in Vegas when the United States Olympic team gathered, and I saw him scrimmage. You know, I think it was the second day there, and I'll never forget. Like, I didn't realize, I didn't know who it was, and then someone told me who it was, and he plays with a pace that's all his. He's aggressive. He has every skill. But the way he, you know, just his IQ, his competitive fire, like I played with a guy, Sean Elliott, and he's sort of like a little bit, reminded me of Sean in a way, but just taller, bigger, and even more advanced than Sean. And Sean was, you know, the Wooden Player of the Year, you know, All-Star three or four times. And so and I think of today's modern guy, he's a little bit like KD. He's not as long as KD. Probably doesn't, you know, KD shot it at such an elite level, but the type of handles, his playmaking at that size and ability to finish, block shots, play defense, just he can do it all. And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, I think he could be was originally supposed to be a senior in high school this year.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty silly. I mean, what he's done and where he can go with it. And just, he looks the part too. Like, I like his demeanor. He shows emotion, but, you know, but a big part of the time he's pretty stoic too. He just plays hard, does his job. And it's going to be a blast to watch him absolutely succeed in the NBA.
Well, let's see what sad sack of NBA franchise he ends up on, and if he could go out there and turn him around. We got to wait on that one. Matt Muehlbach here with us. Well, now I got to put you on the spot. We know tonight's game is a pick 'em. I'm giving the edge to Houston, a slight edge. Are you giving him that slight edge as well?
I am. I'm riding with Kelvin. I'm riding with Houston. You know, they just, their will right now and their experience, Kelvin's experience. I'm riding with them. You know, I do think Florida played in a better conference. I think the SEC was slightly, you know, was better than the Big 12 this year. Big 12 has been the best conference the last probably 6-7 years. But I think the Big 12 also, their depth in playing those close games. Houston reminds me a little bit. I was originally from Kansas City, and they remind me a little bit of the Chiefs in that they just kind of find a way to win. They don't always do it, you know, in a way that's like, you know, the prettiest game and beat everybody by 25 and do it with, you know, flash. But they just find ways to win at the end. And that reminded me of that Chiefs team this year until, of course, they got smacked in the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I just it feels like the fate maybe because of what happened Saturday, maybe that fate for them carries over.
Yeah, we'll see. Certainly looking forward to this one. Hopefully it's going to be a close game. I think that's exactly what we have in store. Matt, thank you so much again for your time, your expertise, whether it's from playing on the court to your analysis now. Where can people follow you and keep up with you and your work?
Yeah, Matt Muehlbach at Twitter and Matt Muehlbach at Instagram. So, and then I'll be back doing games in the fall. Can't wait.
That'll be fun. Hey, basketball season never stops. I know you don't either, Matt. Thank you for the time.
Thanks, JR. Have a great one. Going to be a fun one tonight.
Absolutely. That Matt Muehlbach covers all things college basketball for ESPN as well as Fox Sports. And that's when he wasn't knocking down threes for the Arizona Wildcats. Thank you to Matt Muehlbach here on the JR Sport Brief Show. That's three for three. Let's see. Hey, we got Rich Ackerman here. Hey, Rich, are you leaning Houston or are you leaning Florida?
I am. I just think that they've come close the last couple of years. It's a nucleus, and this you don't see that often now in college basketball, but a nucleus that has stayed around a couple of years together. I like both teams, and I think it could go either way, but there's just something, you know, they had that big win. To have that big win and not build on it, I think that would really hurt them. You know, it's like when Herb Brooks said, you know, to the 80 hockey team after beating the Soviets, you know, you don't win this one, you'll take it to your grave. And then he stopped and he turned around and he repeated it with an expletive in there. So I'm going with Houston tonight.
Okay, well, how about that? Four for four. And here's the thing. I think we all agree. I think everyone who's been here, including Matt, who we just had on the line, this should be, hopefully is, a close game. Let's see what Houston does. Right now, this minute, this second, Hakeem Olajuwon is joining College Game Day. In full transparency, Hakeem Olajuwon is probably my favorite basketball player of all time.
Good one.
We'll see what they do tonight. We're going to keep on chatting. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, speaking of greatest of all time, the Toronto Blue Jays just gave a guy a $500 million contract. I hope he ends up being the greatest Blue Jay of all time. We're talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Rob Manfred has some words on these torpedo bats. I want to talk more about Cooper Flagg because people are looking at Duke and the fact that he lost, and it's just like, so what's the big deal? Why did they suck? Why didn't Cooper Flagg do more? And I think that's pretty ridiculous. We'll talk some NFL as well. A lot of draft rumors floating around.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you so much to Matt Muehlbach for joining us on the last break. Former Arizona Wildcat, now analyst, talking all things college basketball on both ESPN and Fox. He believes that Houston has the edge tonight against Florida. I believe Houston has the edge against Florida. Rich Ackerman believes Houston has the edge against Florida. And we're about an hour away from seeing what's actually going to take place. The game is supposed to tip at 8:50 Eastern time. That is almost an hour away. And so we'll see. Hickey, by the time we got to shut up and leave, They'll be probably exactly at halftime, right? No, right? No, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, no, I think so. I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
Hour and 10 minutes? Yeah.
That's not bad. So if that'll be about 10 Eastern-ish, they'll be done by 11? No. Yeah, right? Kind of, sort of, close. Depends on the clock.
Wow. Depends on the clock. Overtime?
Overtime, excuse me. Overtime. You think it's going to be one of those games, huh?
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be close, which means I don't think you can rule out overtime.
Yeah. Hickey, I don't want no damn overtime, bro.
No?
Let's get this one over with in regulation. You don't need to put anything extra on it. Give us one of these, you know, three-point shots against North Carolina. You know, give me one of those. Give me one of those.
Oh, I mean, look, I'll take a buzzer beater. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, I will. Hickey, I was... I don't know if my memory is good or bad. Hickey, sometimes I feel like I got a good memory, and sometimes I feel like I got a bad memory. I was there. It was Kansas beat North Carolina in Houston. I was there, and I don't remember the shot. Like, I remember Michael Jordan walked by me, Hickey. I remember that more than anything else. And I remember people going crazy, and maybe I was working too hard. I think I was doing TV work for CNN at the time. I don't know, man. I know I was there, but everything starts blending together at a certain point in time.
I guess that's a good problem to have in the sense of you're at so many big events, you know?
If they stuck out more, maybe you
go to less, so those moments stick out more because it's more of a rarity. You're a natural now at these big events.
I don't know about that, man. I don't know. I was like, Hickey, I was looking at the game and the notes, and I was like, wait, I was there. I was like, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, to be honest. It's just, remember the shot at the end and people losing their minds. Maybe I was focused on something else. Anyway, I don't know. Whatever. I'll be at my house tonight. I don't got to worry about focusing on anything. I don't have to worry about traffic. I don't have to worry about getting back to the hotel. I don't have to worry about people trying to hang out after. I don't have to worry about the airport in San Antonio after the game in the morning time. Shout outs to everybody down in San Antonio, Texas. I should have a better rooting interest in this as well. I've been down to the wonderful people of Houston with the Cougars. I have, been out in Gainesville, out in Gatorland. They've always been fun. I don't really care though. It doesn't matter to me who wins or loses. I got no rooting interest anyway. Hickey, you had Duke winning it all. I had Duke winning it all myself.
So when I did the initial bracket, I picked Houston to win.
Ah, okay.
But
look at you.
Once we did see the play through the first two rounds or first two weekends, I will not lie. Going into the Final Four, I picked Duke to win it all.
Yeah. This is no money for you today, huh?
No money for your boy.
Is there anybody that you know that has this kind of filled out on a bracket that may win some cash?
Two of my good friends actually are facing off against each other.
Oh,
both have Houston, Florida, in the national title. One has Houston, one has Florida, winner take all.
Oh, my God. What are you talking crap all day yesterday, huh?
I wish we could say we just watch them fight instead of actual game. I think it'd be more enjoyable. But
Well, you can. It's not too late. It's only an hour away, right?
That's true.
A little FaceTime. I don't know. FaceTime fight. No, but they could. They can broadcast it online. It's not too late for a little pay-per-view.
I'd pay.
How much would you pay?
Well, I guess it maybe depends on what the score is. If halftime we're sitting here, one team up by 20, they could pay a little bit more. Get a little late-night entertainment.
Ah, okay. Oh, you're really trying to have them out here. Okay, I get it. Well, right now these two teams are warming up on the court. Going to get ready for all of the... I don't want to call it the pregame festivities is what we're... Nah, is the Pledge of Allegiance? That's not a festivity, is
the
it?
The Pledge of Allegiance?
No.
The Pledge of Allegiance? Has anyone done that since like graduating eighth grade?
The national anthem?
Yeah, that counts. I'm sure it'll be a big time. Do you know who's singing it? I'm sure it'll be
a
big-time celebrity.
In San Antonio, I don't know. A big-time... Who's a big-time celebrity out of San Antonio? Tim Duncan? Is he going to do it from the Virgin Islands? I don't know.
Well, Beyonce is from Texas, right?
From Houston. Come on now.
Well, she's Beyonce, from Houston. It's not that far away. Houston's a national title game.
Beyonce is too big to do this.
You think she's watching tonight?
No. Maybe if Jay-Z is in the bedroom or something. I don't know, right? How many bedrooms they got in their house?
Infinite. 20?
Beyonce has 19 of them, right? I guess, right? She's like, maybe I'll walk by the bedroom once and Jay-Z is watching the game. But, I don't think Beyonce is super. Beyonce is Super Bowl, World Cup, or nothing. I think that's where Beyonce is.
She did now. I don't know if it's because of holiday. Remember she did the Christmas Day halftime show for the Texans-Ravens?
You are right. Well, that was the first game ever on Netflix.
Yes.
That's a Beyonce. He ain't going to show up and do no measly college basketball championship game.
In her home state?
No, bro.
With it would have your hometown team playing?
No, it have to be in Houston with the Houston Cougars. And Beyonce's nephew would have to be on the basketball team. Yeah, Beyonce, no, no. Hickey, the Super Bowl, World Cup. Aliens are visiting from planet XYZ. If Beyonce's not showing. That's like asking Beyonce to do halftime at the NBA All-Star. And I think Destiny's Child did it like 15 years ago, 20 years ago.
So it's go big or go home for Beyonce.
Yeah, bro. Beyonce would be like Rihanna couldn't even. Hickey, after you do the Super Bowl, everything after that is just like, yeah, whatever.
Isn't Beyonce going on tour this summer? Yeah,
she's doing another stadium tour, yeah. Cowboy Carter. I think every seat is sold out across the country already. For her to do
no
country.
Need for the pub?
Yeah, I don't think Beyonce needs it. For her to do country music.
That's true.
God bless her. Hey, look, she's been around for like almost, I don't know, almost 30 years. Good for her. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We come back and talk more college basketball and even some baseball. A $500 million player. He don't need money either. Don't move.